Welcome to the City Circle here on Eagle 89, Sunset Marvin Amanda. Commonwealth Minister Anissa Mukande has dismissed reports suggesting that critical medical equipment at major hospitals in the province are not functioning, describing the assertions as misleading. Addressing the media in Angola today, Mr. Mukande says diagnostic equipment, including CT scanners and X-ray machines at Angola Teaching Hospital, Chikwe Teaching Hospital, and Arthur Davidson Children's Hospital, are fully operational. Mr. Mukande has refuted allegations that equipment procured through the National Health Insurance Management Authority, NHIMA, had broken down at the three facilities, stressing that the equipment was working well and continues to support service delivery in the health sector. He has maintained that the province's health system remains stable and functioning, adding that government remains committed to improving health care services, as President Hakainde Hichilema prepares for a two-day visit to the Commonwealth starting Wednesday.
As I'm speaking to you, they have a brand new X-ray, which is the state of the art. They have a brand new scan, which is the MRI is on the way somewhere. And for those who are saying they are not working, even today, if you want to go to the hospital, the scan is working, the X-ray is working.
In August 2025, former Minister of Health Elijah Ochoa commissioned 7 CT scan machines and 1 MRI machine across major public hospitals under a program supported by NHIMA. Facilities that benefited included Arthur Davidson Children's Hospital, Dola Teaching Hospital, and Chikwe Teaching Hospital, among others. Agriculture expert Oliver Velaya has called for deliberate measures to ensure smallholder farmers benefit from government decision to lift restrictions on maize exports. Dr. Velaya says while the move is a significant and commendable policy shift with strong potential to stimulate growth in Zambia's agriculture sector, its benefits may not be fully realized by small scale farmers without targeted intervention. He explains that many smallholder farmers currently face limited awareness and lack access to timely, practical information, which risks excluding them from participating in a liberalized market. Dr. Velaya has noted that traders and large-scale farmers often have better access to market information, leaving most smallholders unprepared to take advantage of export opportunities. He stressed that strengthening agriculture extension service delivery is urgent and called for intensified stakeholder engagement to bridge the information gap.
The government's decision to lift export restriction, which represented a progressive and economically supportive policy direction, with the potential to unlock value within Zambia. However, from a climate smart agriculture and inclusive development perspective, the real choice of this policy lies in its applicability and impact on smaller farmers. Smaller farmers who constitute the backbone of Zambia's food system, which remains peripheral beneficiaries, and deliberate labor are not taken to address the evolving information and capacity gaps.
Development advocate Joseph Kanga has described the ongoing conflict between government and the family of the late former President Edgar Lungu over value arrangements as regrettable and deeply concerning. Mr. Kanga notes that more than 200 days have passed since the death of the former head of state on June 6, 2025, yet the country continues to face an unresolved impasse, warning that the prolonged delay is undermining the dignity of the deceased and damaging the nation's moral standing. He explains that value in Zambia carries deep cultural and spiritual significance, especially in a country founded on strong traditions and Christian values. As delays in laying a person to rest are widely viewed as unacceptable and inconsistent with principles of respect, unity, and compassion. Mr. Kangwa further observed with concern that the dispute has taken a legal dimension involving court processes both locally and in South Africa. He has since called for reconciliation, urging both the government and the Lunga family to rise above their differences and prioritize dignity, respect, and closure.
To understand this conflict, it is important to go beyond party position and apply the three key perspectives of conflict analysis, position, interest, and need. At the level of position, the government has maintained that the sitting president should preside over the value of a former head of state in line with national protocol and state responsibility. On the other hand, the Lunga family has insisted that the Zendara institution should not attempt to preside over the value, citing grievances and alleged past actions by the government.
The Eastern Eastern Province Eye investigatory report involving the discovery of a small coffin at a house in Lusandazi district. Eastern Province Police Commissioner Robert Wamanda has confirmed the incident, which occurred in April 27, 2026, around 04 hours in Kikili Village and the Chief Sande. Mr. Wamanda explained in a statement that the matter was reported later within days, about 15 hours, at Kekawika Police Station by Solomon Banda, age 47, of the same village. He says Mr. Banda had left his home on April 26, 2026 for business at Sasali Mine, leaving the house in the care of the 18-year-old nephew, Ngoza Sakala. Mr. Mwemba further explained that around 04 hours on April 27th, Mr. Sakala discovered a small, well-varnished brown coffin with white paint at the base placed at the door to the house. He says the discovery prompted Mr. Sakala to alert the area's acting headman, Gilbert Mwemba, who later informed the police. Mr. Mwemba says police officers visited the scene and established that the coffin was empty, as in that the coffin has since been collected by police and the occupants secured for safety while investigations have been instituted. Bendola City Council NCC has introduced a 25% remission on residential property rates and a 20% remission on commercial, industrial, mining and hospitality properties. According to Council Public Relations Manager Rebecca Mshota, the decision was made during the council meeting held on April 24, 2026. This follows guidance from the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development, which directed council to provide at least 20% relief for residential properties and 20% for commercial properties. She says the council has also waived penalties on outstanding bills for 6 months, giving property owners time to settle their debt without extra charges. She is encouraging residents and businesses to come forward, settle their bills, adding that rates are a major source of revenue for the council.
We use heightened transparency to ensure that our council are knowledgeable on the need to pay, as well as on how to pay. There are digital means now to pay, as well as also other means of paying. We are also saying that we have introduced a payment plan for those that have used outstanding bills or any other bills. People are free to get themselves in the rest of the country to discuss the payment plan.
We'll take a quick break. We'll return shortly with the global news.
From Adam. To digital. To business. We're going to take things back.
In global stories, a military escorted civilian convoy in northern Ghana was attacked on Monday, leaving 3 civilians dead and 1 injured. The Ghana Armed Forces killed. The convoy, transporting about 140 civilians from Boku to Bojatanga, came under gunfire at Bindui from unidentified assailants, according to a statement. The military said it repelled the attack, killing 7 of the attackers, with security forces later recovering a locally made weapon, a GT rifle, and ammunition from one suspect who attempted to flee. The BBC reports another world story. Reports from Ghana say the government has ended